Just to summarize what we covered last week, actually the last sif, we actually had to rush through it. The yesodot that we're supposed to take out of Sif Yud Ches were the following. The first important yesod that we see in Sif Yud Ches is that a lokeach, before he discovers and notices a mum, he has a din of a shemer. He's achroi for the chepetz to the dag of a shemer chinam. That means he's chai for pshia, like mavun and machaba. But for Gneva Vaveda, for Einsim, which are at the level of something lost or stolen, Gneva Vaveda, he's going to be potter on. That's Mavun Ramah. That's the first Yisoid, and the reason why I'm mentioning it again is we're going to get more barichas to the darga of a Shmira that this Lokeach has later on. That's one important Yisoid. The second important Yisoid is that from the Machabez Mavur, that if the Shema indeed is Pesheya, and therefore he lost the chayfetz, it's not pshat that he just achroi for the pshia, but rather he loses his right to come back to the moicha. Midin mekach tois, the way the dynamics work is that once there's something wrong with the item, you bring me back the item, I give you back your money. If for some reason you don't bring me back the item, then I don't have to give you back the money. If you, the reason why you don't have the item to return is because you were pesheh and you ruined the item, then I have nothing to do with you. When you bring me back the item, I'll give you back your money. And we're going to discuss more barichas tonight as well, whose responsibility it is to return the item, the lokeach moicha, different scenarios. Those are two principles. The third important principle that we see from Sif Yud Ches is that even if the seller was unaware that there's a mum there, prior to selling it, means he's not at fault, still it's a mekach tov, and still your tefillah is on the moicha. And bring it to today's world, and you walk into a store and you buy something, and there's something defective with the item that you bought, you have a right to go back to the store and say it's a mekach tov, you want your money back, and he can't send you with a runaround, or go back to the manufacturer. That's not true. If I bought it from you, my tefillah is on you. If you have a problem and you want to go back to manufacturer, it's because entitled to whatever you want. But if I bought it from you, you have to give me back my money. Those are three yesodot, and we're going to see them again tonight, more barichas. We're going to develop them. We're up to Reish Lamed Beis, Sif Yud Tes.
Even if it says no return, you buy.
Even if it says no returns, is a halacha which we mentioned earlier in Sif Zayin, I believe it was, is that no returns, first of all, typically here, no returns might mean not for mumim, but it means to cover that you don't come back with a 30-day, whatever, normal customer policy. But if he intended no returns, even if something's defective, just a blank statement like that does not absolve the moicha, like many rishonim, like we mentioned in Sif Zayin. He still have a right to tanya mekach tov. All right, let's start Sif Yud Tes. Hamoicha beitzum lechaveroi. If someone sells eggs to his friend, v'nimtzum muzarois. What does that mean? Pirsha hischil lehisaveis b'itzurias ha'afreich. It was already developing an embryo. Obviously, it's not edible. So you purchased an egg which is not edible. The Machabe says she'enum ruim la'achila. Havi mekach tois. That's grounds for mekach tois. U'magzer es adomim, and you refund the money. If someone purchases eggs and something's wrong with the egg, an embryo started, that's obviously mekach tois, and he gets back his money. However, Zakta Machaba, Va'akshu V'loi Nohagu Kain, or Minig Mevatel Halacha. Even though Mekai Din, he has a right to Taina mekach tois, or something wrong. But since the Minig is that we do not go back to the seller because of this problem, it became a custom, we don't go back for these problems. So Minig Mevatel Halacha, it's a concept used all the time. This is how they feel so in business, this is the industry standard, that we don't consider this a mum, and therefore you cannot claim mekach tois.
Why is that? Because it's just too minimal?
Why would they have the minig like that?
Could be.
You could have it today with other items. You could have it today, like I mentioned, you could purchase a crate of esrogim or a crate of luavim, and some of them are no good. It's minig mevatel halacha, you know, you accept it no matter what.
You could do that with a bottle of milk also.
If the minig would be like that, and a chanami.
This is assuming only one of many.
Yeah, let me finish halacha and then we'll take questions. So now the Machabi says that because it was a minig by Beit Muzoris not to return, minig mevatel halacha. The Aruch HaShulchan says we don't have such a minig today. If you will find an embryo in your egg, you have a right to tain a mekach tois. However, to apply to today's times, I would say if you find a blood spot, Generally, I never heard of someone come running back to the Meichiv when he finds two in a dozen and saying, well, there's a blitz up here, I want my money back. We don't do these things, and therefore it would not be a taina of a Mekach Tais. And what was supposed to come out of this... Mamish, all right. Okay, but today, I mean, in my generation, it's not a Mekach Tais. And basically, we're supposed to come out from here, and therefore, this is sort of disqualifies all halachas of mumin. Basically, is that what we would learn till now, that you could have a mum and all the different types of mumin. If the minig was in that industry that it's not considered a mum, and we don't go back, even though it is problematic, it's not useful for the application that you purchase it for, it's not going to be a Mekach Tais. Minig mevatel halacha. Some could say even further that hayois, the whole svara of mum, it's not just minig mevatel halacha, and the bother why the Mechaber needs such a strong concept, is the whole concept of mum is geboit. The Mechaber says, I believe it's in Sevav, kol sheskimu lo b'nei hamadina shu mum, and if there's askamas b'nei medina, if everyone agrees that they view this as a mum, that they return the Mecca, that is magzirin. So obviously, if the minig is that we don't bother returning for that, then it's snapshot that it's a mum, just it's a minig to override halacha. By its very nature, it's not a mum. If people aren't makbet to return it, then the askamas b'nei medina is not to return it, then it's not a mum to begin with. That is not our problem. And now, if anyone want to know why the Mechaber needs to exercise this concept, because minig mevatel halacha, the chayit should just be stam. If people don't return it, it's not a mum to begin with.
But I don't understand it that way. I understand that there's such a thing that is a mum. The pshat is, I don't want to, I'm a tree up myself to give it back to that. That doesn't make it not a mum. And not a mum is the other thing, a scratch on the car, a little tiny scratch here. That's not a mum because I don't give it back. But an egg? That's for sure a mum. It's just, it's a big tircha. I'm going to start bringing a cracked egg to the store. I'm not going to bother. But it's a particular mum.
Anakami? Some want to suggest that, Terrence. You have to know the dynamics of mum, but yeah, that's fine. I'll repeat your teretz, and basically is that the whole sevav is just talking about the degree of not being useful or not being pretty or whatever it is. Mashenkin here, where it's clearly you purchase it for to eat and it's not edible, so clearly it's a mum. Just the only reason why it's not mevatel lemekach is because of the tircha or whatever it was, and that created the minik.
All of the eggs were this way.
Even if all the eggs, correct.
If it's one egg amongst a dozen, then you could say a person doesn't want to be matriarch or he's Michael because he realizes it could happen. You buy a dozen eggs and all dozen of them.
Well, Makarjus of Nimzu doesn't say how many, but even if it means many,
all of those.
Because they nimzu kula muzaris. It doesn't nimzu muzaris. All right. Let's say, but if the meaning was at that time was not to return it, even if all of them were muzaris, then again, meaning mevatel halacha. If you want to apply to, let's say, our case of blood spots in Ekonami, if your guy buys a dozen and he has a mazel, everyone's no good. I don't know. I can't believe that there would be a meaning on that because it's too rare. I mean, a meaning has to be a normal occurrence to understand, you know, what the halacha is. I would doubt it's a minig, but I don't know. You ever hear of someone buying a whole dozen eggs and buying, it's not penimta.
Why doesn't he just say in the case?
I think he's taking, you know, the extreme, that even though minig mevatel halacha, and the reason why the Mechaber brings on this halacha is not so much to tell you minig mevatel halacha, it's to reinforce the point that we had in Sefer Yitzchak. Here the poor seller, didn't know that there was an embryo growing in the egg, and nevertheless, it's still a Mekach Tais. The reason why it's Mekach Tais is not because the seller is at fault, it's a Metzias. You sold me something and it's not useful, it's a Mekach Tais. Whether or not the seller tried to do something wrong or not, it's irrelevant. Whether he knew about it or not, it's irrelevant. All right, any questions? Okay, let's move on to Sifchov then. Sorry?
This is retail, obviously.
Correct.
Because if you're cautious, like what he said, that
all, imagine
if you bought cases of eggs and their own
writers. Again, what would be the minig? If the minig was then, even by wholesale. Obviously, you have to apply it to the minig in that type of a mechira. All right, let's move on to Sifchov. Hamoichel kavera zareini gina. If someone sells to his friend seeds which are garden for a garden to plant, Shein atzman shel zoreinim ne'echal. These seeds are never eaten. You're going to see why the Mechaber needs that. And therefore, its only application is to plant vizaren, and you did plant them, v'loy tzamku, and they did not grow. So obviously, they were not fit for its purpose. Chayv b'achar yuzon, the meicher is responsible for the seeds, or maksa lo yadomim, and he has to return the money. Shalokak mimenu, why? Shechaskosim l'zriya, since no one eats them, everyone plants them, so it's understood when you purchase them, even though you didn't tell the seller, I'm purchasing it to plant, it was self-understood that that's the purpose, and therefore it's going to be a mekach tois. Vuhu, Zakta Machaba provided, when is it a mekach tois provided that the reason why they didn't grow is because something was wrong with the seeds? If it was a frost that year, if it was a problem in the weather, inclement weather, and that's why they didn't grow, then you're not chai b'achrayis. Why? Shema, because one could say, machmas habarid lo tzamcho, because of the weather, due to the weather, it didn't grow. And similar, means if you could be toilet on something else, if I can be toilet that you did not plant it properly, if I can be toilet that anything else you were pesheh negligent in how to be a farmer, or if I see the Rishonim bring down, if I see that the whole valley, not just your field, but all the fields adjacent to your field also, for some reason the crops didn't grow, even if it was perfect weather, but there must be something to this area, it's nothing to do with the seeds, so I could be toiler on something else, that then that also would not be a mekach tois. And the Mechaber says, Shema machmas habarid loitzamchu. Apparently, we're not certain that it didn't grow because of the barid, but we can entertain that possibility. It might have been because of the seeds, and it might have been because of the weather, and therefore, Maitzim Nechavera Lavarai, you cannot be Maitzim Momin from the Moicha. True, if the Lokeach had not yet paid, then the Aruch HaShulchan says that you would be able to tanya mekach tois because you don't know if it's because of the bard, you don't know because if it's something inherent defective seeds, so therefore I can tanya it was because of the seeds and it'll be a mekach tois and I don't have to pay you.
What about, with the whole family you're talking about, you know, mom's strict din, moich mechav abrari. But if I'm a moicher, you know, and I feel bad, his stuff didn't grow and I'm not sure whose fault it was, shouldn't I copy Shemayim, maybe make a pshar with him? You know, I'll give you half your money back or something. Yossi de Shemayim.
Within Shemayim, I mean, look, to be a nice guy, you could always be a nice guy. According to the halacha, this is Mekah Adin. You want to know, even within Shemayim, it's Mavu in the Knesset HaGdailah, in Kalalei Tfis, I believe it's at, right after Simuch Hafei. The Knesset HaGdailah brings down that you want to know when you have these sechsuchim or you're uncertain what's the halacha, when do you have a chiv b'din Shemayim to go lefnim yishur zedin, so to speak, or have a chiv b'din Shemayim? He says that it's totally on whether it's a cheskes chiv or any idea in miskayavti. And I'll explain this concept. If I lend you money and you're not sure if you paid back or not, so we know for sure at one point in time your zikha had to pay me back. We don't know if you satisfy that obligation. Did you actually pay me back or not? Unless we're both mesopik, so that's a move for Rosh Halacha, that Shema v'Shema, in your day in Praetich, you have a chiv, lots of Zidei Shemayim. If it's any day of Mischayavti, if I claim I lent you money, or I believe I lent you money, I'm not sure, so let's say it's a Shema, and you're also not sure 100% if I lent you money, and now the suffix is whether initially you were ever chayiv to me, that's any day of Mischayavti, and then if we're both Mesopek, then you don't even have a chiv, lots of Zidei Shemayim. So therefore he says, who are then all the type of sfeikas, when both people are mesupik, if it's structured as such, that the sfeik is whether you satisfied a choiv, and with a cheskes chiv, and you don't know if you satisfy that, then you'll have a chiv lot to see shemayim. If the sfeik is, you don't know in the first place if you have a chiv to begin with, then it'll be any adenim schayafti, and you don't have a chiv lot to see shemayim either.
So now this guy gave me money, so I know I have to give him schor, good to schor. And I'm not sure if I gave him good to schor. So which classification would you put
there? Okay, now you just ran into another machlekes. Is a machlekes taz and shach and these type of things, is this considered any day in Neskayafti, any day in Praticha? Pashtis, well, I don't know, it's a bigger riches, but Pashtis, there was never a choiv on the moicha to deliver goods. It's not pshat that you paid me money and at that point and then like the next minute now I have a choiv to deliver goods. It all happened at the same time. I gave you the skyra, you gave me the money. At no point in time can we say I was definitely chayiv to you. I don't have a vada that I was ever chayiv to you. Right when you gave me the money, you already got your goods. So I was never mechuyif to pay you anything. So it was never cheskes chiv to begin with. And therefore, if you have a suffix, do I have to refund the money or not? It l'choyri should be a suffix of any yodei mischayavti. And should be part even lotis
yodei shemayim. But I have your money in my pocket.
I have a right to have your money. I have a right to have your money because you have my goods. You have my...
I'm not sure if I gave you good goods.
So that... Again, it says Machlokes Tazen Shach, but Pashas you would say that's in Deim Niskayavti. Specifically, like the Rishonim will say that the Lomdus is Geboit on Ein Sofik Moitzim Deivade, that type of a Lomdus. There was a Vade Choiv and a Sofik if you satisfy that obligation. Here you cannot say Ein Sofik Moitzim Deivade, there was never a Vade Choiv. I agree. Right, we're talking about 100%, and let me chazir, but what we're talking about is the dark that the Torah is mechayiv you. There's a chiv b'dini Odom, and then there's a chiv b'dini Shamayim. You know, if a person wants to go beyond that and be lefnimish as a din, and b'derek shadim moedin nilay, like he said, moedin, the way you feel, like that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to feel like with you, that's beautiful. And it's, I'm sure it's going to make you a nice guy, and you'll make shaduchim for your children. But that's not mi'ikar adin. Mi'ikar adin is, there's a chiv b'dini Odom, there's a chiv b'dini Shamayim. It's a good question. I don't have an answer for you that I know of, but I would just offer a suggestion, and that is, and it's really going to go into Sif Chaval, but let me repeat the question. How come throughout the Sif, generally the Mechaba use whether it is a Mechak Toys or it's not a Mechak Toys, Hareza Choyza, Eno Choyza, all of a sudden here he changes the Lashonis, is Chai Bach Ryuson. That a Kiluak is responsible. I would just suggest, and that is that in this case, what happened? He did not come back with the goods. Normally the case is, I have the animal, and it was a trefa. I have the avid, and he's a list of mezuyin. I have, etc. All these cases. I have the chavis, I'm coming back with the mekatois, and we make a swap. Here's the item back, give me back my money. So that's a symbol of halacha, it's a mekatois. Here, there's a greater chiddush here, and that is, the lokech is not coming back with the goods. He planted the goods are gone. He planted the seeds, it's history. Now he's coming back, give me back my money. One second, the seller should tell the guy, give me back my money. When you bring me back the seeds, I bring you back your money. I give you back your money, like we had before, this concept, that this is how mekatois works. The dynamic is, you give me back my item, I give you back your money. And nevertheless, Mechaba says, it's not the case here. And why not? And that the Rishonim says, because since it was the obvious intent of the purchase of these seeds were to plan, it's as if I allowed you, I instructed you to plant these seeds. I sold it to you with the understanding that you're going to plant them. So if you do plant them, who is responsible for losing these seeds? Is it the Lokeach or the Moicha? And that's what Mechaba is trying to tell you, that here we do not use the normal understanding dynamics of Mechatois, you give me back the chayv, I give you back the money. Because the seller is chayv in the achrayis of the seeds, namely in the loss of the seeds, because he instructed, as if he instructed the lokeach to go and plant them. And once it's the seller's achrayis, then we go back to regal aloch, it's Mechatois. Had it been for some reason, like we're going to see in the next sif, the lokeach's achrayis in kavisa situations, or like we had in Sif Yuches, he was pesheya, and he cannot deliver the goods, he cannot bring me back my item, I don't give him back his money. That's what Mechaba had to first say. First, Yechai Bach Riusan, and therefore, Umak Zalai Adomim.
In the case before, I understand what you're saying. The case before was the case of the eggs. He cracked open the eggs, right?
Maybe he still has the egg. It's an embryo. I don't know what this embryo is. It's a chicken. I don't know. All right. I hear. So you want to know why? Sorry? Moldy to do that, do that now. Right, so he should have known, but apparently if he should have done it, then it looked like... Okay. He wants to suggest that the Sifri test is talking about that they didn't even crack open the eggs yet. Right.
It's the same thing. If you crack it, if you
water
it, you understand you're
going to
crack it.
Same as yeah, I know, but then, well, you just want to know why the lotion is. I just said Chai Bachrayis in the previous sif as well. All right. And
you mentioned a few times before, you mentioned before other times also that there's enough to know whether the lokeach paid the money or not, but he gave him a mekatois. So sometimes in a case where he hasn't paid the money yet, that even though it's a mekatois, he doesn't have to go ahead.
It's usually only when it's a sofik. When it's a sofik, we say, I'm going to make a veil of a raya.
Why should it be enough to know? But nice though, the money is not to give. As soon as he's mentioned from the town, he's paying him, he has a fee to pay back the money.
But if it's a sofik, so that's a mekatois.
It's like the money is, I mean, the lumdus always is...
Okay, we're going to get to your lumdus, hopefully, when we reach Sif Chav Gimel. But even if you have a cheskes chiev, you're still not chayv dine adam to pay. Let's say you have a case, you lent me money, I zecha owe you money, and we're both mesupik, if I satisfy that obligation, we still say mitzvah mikvero levarai, even though I have a cheskes to chiv to get, pay you. So if I was moishuk your item, and I did not yet pay you yet, and I have a cheskes chiv to pay you, I'm still toughest on the money. It might not be like the Rishonim say, it might not be the milo, the darga of a muksik, but it's still the darga of toughest that I'm going to win, because the money is by me. Like any other suffix.
That's not telling a suffix.
And they didn't pay yet, the Aruch HaShulchan says, in the last case, Shema Maksa Bar Loi Tzamchu, but he says, since it's only a Shema, had it not yet paid, the Lokech would win. Because the Lokech would say, no, maybe it's not because of the bar, maybe because it's something defective in the seed.
Instead, in the Chayim Ba'afer is...
Why? The Mechabe says, why? Because Shema Makzor Eloi Tzamka. The Mechabe is talking about a normal case which he was already paid, like his Mavu early on in the Mechabe as well. He says, Chai Bakuzo Makzor Eloi Adomen. Implies he already received the money, and we're talking about refunding the money. Had he not yet paid, that would not be a Mekotayis. That would be a Mekotayis, sorry, and he wouldn't have to pay by the case of Barit.
But then he would be Chagdin Shema, in that case, to look
here. In that case, if he had not yet paid and he has a Chiv to pay, then he would have a cheskes chiv, and it would be a suffix. Yes, then loyte knes agdeli would have a chiv b'din shemaim to pay. Correct.
I mean, you make it sure, probably, because it's a suffix.
That could be, but I'm saying you're right. Then he would have a chiv lot is d'din shemaim. It's a good point. All right. What profits are you referring to? What he could have made? Yes, it's only a groma. We're going to see in the next sifim yet Hashem certain chiyuvim that the seller might have of garmi, but yeah, maniyas harevach is only a groma. That's sif chavala. He might have to give it back. We're going to see. Okay, let's move on then to sif chavala. We're going to get to more on sif chavala. All right. Now, before we learn Sif Kafal, it warrants an introduction. Basically is, when there are, we can divide into three stages of Mekaktais. Here we're going to concentrate more on these concepts, develop them, but also now go into the Chiyuve Shmira that the Lokeach has. And there are really three stages of a Lokeach. There's a Lokeach who purchases an item which has a mum. All cases with Umar where it has a mum, but he had not yet discovered the mum. That's one stage. He has the item, he thinks everything's great. What din shmir does he have on it if something goes wrong now? Then there's a second stage where he already noticed the mum, but he had not yet returned the item. It's a second stage. And then there's a third stage where he noticed the mum and he notified the seller to pick up the item. What din shmir does he have then? There are three stages. One, before he notices the mum. Second, he noticed the mum, but he didn't notify the seller. And third, after he notified the seller. And these three stages are not the same halakha. So major machlokes yishanim come out on every single stage. But we're going to see, basically, we paskin is that the first stage, you're only a shem mechinam. The second stage, once you notice the mum, and you did not yet notify the seller to return it, at that point, you're a shem asacha. If you already notified the seller that you're returning it in a proper lashon, which we're going to see, then you go back to being only a shem mechinam. We're going to see as the Mechaber goes now. Let's start Sif Chaf Aleph. Machalo Yisroyim Hane'echolim. If someone sells seeds which are edible. Now this is in contrast to Sif Chaf, which they were only meant for planting. Kegoin, Chitim, V'Soirim. Now they have a dual use. You can either eat them or plant them. Let's see what's going to happen. V'zaron v'loit samchu, and he decided to plant. He opted to plant them. V'loit samchu, and they did not grow. Einu chayv b'achri yusan. The seller is not responsible for the fact that they did not grow. And if you don't bring me back the seeds, damas I don't give you back your money. And even another story which we're going to see. Afilu hot yezera pishtan sheroiv b'nei adam koinim oisei lezria. Now we have a roiv to support the lokeach that he was supposed to plant them. There's a roif saying that most people, when they purchase these type of seeds, zerapish and flax, it's intended to be planted. The reason why is hov oichlem oisai, since there are people, there's a meat who eat them, eino chayev b'achrayis riyosai. The seller is not chayev, the achrayis of the person planting them. Now, like I mentioned, first he had no right to plant them, maybe, and therefore if he doesn't bring back the seeds, I don't have to give him back his money. But there's even a more basic reason why there's no mekotayis here, is because as long as I could taina that I sold it to be eaten, and it was edible, it might not be seeds which are right to plant, but there are seeds which are right to eat, and you didn't eat them, but rather you decide to plant them, that's your problem. Because what I sold it for, the intended use was for eating, and for eating it was good. It's not a mekach tois. I really support you and say that you intended to plant them. And obviously we're talking about nothing was discussed. We didn't explicitly say what the intended use was. There's a concept, ein hokum b'mamanach ha'roiv. I'm muksik, I already have your money. You claim that you have a roiv to support you saying that you were supposed to plant them and it's a mekach tois because it's not useful, it's not right to be planted. Well, we have a klal in hokum b'mamanach ha'roiv, my cheskes mamen, my mukzakis wins, and therefore it will not be a mekach tois. You're not going to be able to get the money out of me. However, if he had not yet paid, yesh oimrim, there are those who say, the lakeach can now say, I really bought it for the intended use to plant, and it's not roi to plant, so therefore it will be a mekach tois. Vayin lamatasif chav gimel, more involved in his roi vin chazaka. But basically, in this Ramah's case, he had not yet paid, so lakeach is now supported by two reasonings. First of all, he's muksik in the money. Possession is always great, so he has a cheskas moment. And the second thing is he has a roiv to support him as well. He has a roiv, the majority of people buy these things to plant. So he has a roiv and a chazaka supporting him to say it's a mekach tois, and therefore it's a mekach tois. Now the Achronim want to say, how come he needs two things? I could have given you a in-between case. I could have given you a case where if the lakeach had not yet paid, so he's muksik in the money, and let's say it's 50-50. 50% of the people use it to plant, 50% of the people use it for eating, and we can even go for a roiv the other way, but that's really later on for Zivkal Gimel. At least 50-50. And how come the Ramah keeps the case in a machaber that there's a roiv who intends to plant it, and he slaps on as well a cheskas mamon, and in that case the lakeach will win and be refunded the money? Even if it's 50-50, as long as the lakeach has the money, he should be able to win and claim mekach tois. And here comes the bomb. And they say like this, and Mavuni Yishami like that as well. They say the following: Ein ekonami midin the dynamics of mekach tois. If it's a 50-50 and I'm muksik, I could dictate what this here was intended for. The intended use of this was for planting, and therefore it wasn't planted, it wasn't suitable for the intended use, it's going to be a mekach tois. But it didn't stop over there. What did he do? He went and he actually planted it. Now when he actually planted it, at that point in time, he is a type of a mazik. Because if you're going to mivatel the mekach l'mafreya, retroactively the seeds always belong to the seller. And now, what happened? The lakeach took seeds of the seller, right? The mekach was just an illusion, it never took place. He took the seeds of the seller and he planted it, and he was mazik the seeds. And he would like to hide behind the fact, you know why I was allowed to plant it? Because I claim I used it for planting purposes. That's why I purchased them. Well, it's only a 50-50, right? And if you didn't have the roiv, the rachreinu mamavur, you will be chayv for mazik. It's a simon later on, Shimpei Beis, which discusses barikas. If I go over to your shor and I shecht your shor, or I uproot your tree, and I claim that I had a right to do it, and it's my word against your word, and I'm a mazik, I will be chayiv. If we see a mazik in front of us, you are chayiv. Right there, I see a chiyuv of hezik. Unless you can prove that you had a right to be mazik, you are going to be chayiv. And therefore, if you will have a case where it's 50-50, it's going to come out an interesting halakha. It means we didn't make a choice, theoretically should win because you're muksik in the money, but Rabbi Yehud, the lokeach, you are mazik the seeds, they're now gone, they're history, and now they're not be able to be eaten. Had you not planted them, I could have eaten them or sold them to someone else to be eaten. Therefore, you are mazik me and you chayiv me din the hezek. And the only way to have the halacha that the yochel alakeik loyme lezriya kanisi, and I don't have to pay you at all, and I can claim mekach tois, and I'm not chayiv for mazik, is because the roiv is misayayani. Besides that, I have a cheskas moment, I have a roiv saying that it was oymid lezriya, and I had a right to plant, and that's takamuvun yishami, that if I have a roiv, the mazik is neman to say that he had the right to be mazik disease. So basically, what's this guy saying? Not only is it mekach tois, but I had a right to plant and lose these seeds because the roiv is misayayani. You are a mazik because, like I said, retroactively you just undid the mechira. So at that point in time, you use the item for something that you had no right to use it for. And it kind of you're the lakeik, you can do whatever you want. But we had a halakha before in Sif, what was it, Chav Gimel, Yud Gimel, let's go back. that says if you purchase something and you change the use, that you shina va'asu bei mumacher. Where is that? Yes, Yud Gimel. V'mshina va'asu mumacher koydim sheyodei aloy amum max amekul avaylov umeshalam dmei amum sheasa. If you use an item, even though you think you own the item, you could do whatever you like with it, that's true, if you remain the Baalam of the item. If retroactively, even though you're not at fault, but it came out to be a mum, and retroactively we undo this sale, it came out that it was the seller's item, at that point, since you did something that you had no right to do, so to speak, it wasn't oimit to be done, you were sheen and you changed its application where it got ruined, therefore it's going to be a mazik. Now, if the seed's intended purpose was to be eaten, when you went ahead and you planted it, you just were sheena the application that it was intended for.
It's 50-50, right?
Even 50-50, you're 50-50 mazik.
And I'm a shana. If I do something normal to do to it, can't say I'm a shana, can't I make no money to it?
It works the other way. The Rishonim say the reason why when you plant, the seller's achroi is because it's as if he instructed you to plant, because that's what it was aimed for. Vivite, it's 50-50, you no longer have the instruction of the seller that you should plant it. Maybe you should have eaten it. And then you're now back to the drawing board, now you're on magic.
Is it fair to say that you should be paid for an item before you take it? You should always do it on credit? Or...
And what happens? You want to know, is it fair? You want to know, is it wise?
What?
You want to really know why? Is it wise?
And also to pay by credit card. Is a credit card a form?
Oh, that goes into
of money. Or
that goes into a major. That goes into a major shala. Not for tonight about the credit card and checks and all that. But you want to know, is it wise? You want to use it, you're saying. I mean, you're trying to detect if there's a mum. Well, this you really won't worry. I mean, was it going to give you on credit throughout the whole planting season, throughout the whole winter? I mean, obviously, you only notice that it wasn't growing, I don't know, 2 months later. I don't know how long it takes for you to notice this. Will he give you? If he will, I'm going to give it to you on credit. Look, why not? It's always wise.
No, but I'm saying that you become the muksik, that the little are calf and you're always a muksik.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's wise. If you can... this halakha is obviously not just by Zerayim. We have to apply it to all items today. You buy something and something and it has a dual application and I use it for one thing and it was meant or could have been used for something else, the mecha could say, hey, I thought you were going to use it for something else and it's not a mecha toys, and if you did it and you ruined it, you're a mazik and...
What's a mashal?
If you buy it then...
What's a mashal? I would have to think about Marshall, but... There's no... The vowel over here, we're not... There are halakhas when you get the shoes, which we might see later on, and how much you invested in it, but...
You know, you could really go in with 1/10 and come out because you're not a lekech and you're the mosik and you have that. So you could really drain the concern.
Look, if you're not... If a person's not elach and a chanami, but he's not chayiv a shoe right now, I cannot... Unless there's reglaim ledover that really your intent was for that, then we could slap on him a chiyuv shua. If it is a bari, I know for sure that was the intended use, and I claim it was a vade like that, so then he'll have a chiyuv al shua's hefes. But otherwise, there's no room for a shua here.
If you buy a van for a business, you have to stipulate with him, I'm going to use it to start shopping things, or buy a van stop? I'm not telling him that I'm going to start shopping boxes with this and the
Well, if, what type of van is on? A minivan or a real van?
A minivan, but there's different types of minivans. Mm-hmm.
So again, what is it aimed for? And a chanami, if for some reason you put in boxes and therefore you ruin it, and let's say the roiv is not to put the boxes in, because the roiv is they only schlep boxes in trucks or vans, and you use a minivan or a car to do that, I'm not saying that's the truth, it could be that we schlep even in those things, but you abuse this minivan in a normal situation, yeah, maybe that would be a case. I would have to think about it, but maybe that would be an application.
Going back to this case, you say that now we have this roid. You have two things. You have the roid and the fact that you can pay the money. And how does man not a roid? How does Rav Kahal play a role with people? And how does man not a roid? So what about man not gay over here?
The Mechabit's Kiddush is even though you have a roiv, ain't okum mamanak a roiv. The Ramah needs the roiv the other way. Why? Because he needs them just to be patim from a mazik. He lemaisa is moksik, so it's not a problem roiv. Ain't okum mamanak a roiv, it's because the roiv is going against a cheskas mamen. Here the lokeach has both on his side. It's a cheskas mamen plus a roiv to absolve him from a chiv mazik. It's not just, we don't apply roiv. We do apply roiv by mamen, but not against a cheskas mamen. Here the cheskas mamen is on his side, so then we could exercise, invoke this roiv. Alright, let's continue with the Mechabah. However, if he notifies him that the intended purpose was for Zera, And then obviously it's chayv bechor. You say it's regardless of if it was oymid la'achila, if it was oymid l'zriya. Look, if we explicitly say the intended use, the reason why I purchase it is to plant, then obviously if it's not oymid to plant, it's not going to work out, and it's going to be a mekach tois. Vu adin l'dvarma nimkarim l'refuah l'tzviya, if the use of these seeds could be for medicinal purposes, or l'tzviya, or for dyes, for pain. V'chein kol k'yetzah b'zeh, all these type of cases, always the seller could say in high bond effect, look, I didn't sell it to you for planting, I sold it to you for medicine, I sold it to you something else, as long as it's reasonable, and the seller will end up winning. Now we're going to go to a second, this is like two halves to the sif. This second half, which is very negeya, is really gebayt on the first, the lumdis, the dynamics is learnt out from the zroyim. That's when a machaber puts two inyonim together in one sif. Halakeach mekach mechavera. If someone purchases an item from a friend, v'idioi, and he notifies him at the time of the sale, shomalikoi lemadina ploinis lemachri sham. I'm taking this, I'm importing this to another country. And after he takes it over there, v'nimtza b'imum, he finds out that it was defective. Now here we are, the guy is thousands of miles away, he took something to let the Eretz Yisrael, or even something simple, he bought a cellular phone and he's going to Israel, if I get him a travel cell, he made sure it was going to work in Israel, and he goes in, it doesn't work. Now what happens? Could the seller say, look, I'll definitely return the money when you give me back the goods. You ship it back to me, I'll give you back your money. Or not. This is the halacha. The seller has no right to demand from the lokeach to return the item. Because since he knew that it was intended to going over there, right? It was a deal that he's taking it to another country. So therefore, it's as if he instructed him, just like by the Zroim, it's as if he instructed him, Gezin to hide, take this to the next country. And now it's in the Kaktoye, so retroactively is no Mechir. It came out that the seller's item is sitting in Israel. Elo, what must he do? Maxuloy Adomim, he has to refund to him the money. The Meich is going to be stuck to try to bring back his item, or in the Machir Shom, or if he wants, he could sell over there. It's his headache, the Kitzah. The Lekeach has nothing else to do with it. We show him, say, all the Lekeach has to do is go over to and place this item in a Mokum Meshumma or give it to a Shem Achinam and say, hold on to it till the seller comes and I'm out of the picture and the seller has to return my money. Va'afilu, ovad oinignav, even if it was stolen, or lost or stolen actually, achrei shehidioi, after, subsequent to notification, after he notified the seller that he no longer wants the item because there is a mum and he would like to return the item, harehu b'shus meicha, if it gets lost or stolen, it's the meicha's hefsid, because at this point in time, right, we're talking about the last stage, he already noticed the mum and he notified the seller, he goes back to being only a shei mechinam, and therefore if it was stolen or lost, he's not responsible. It's mavun the mechaba, had he not notified the seller, but it was already this middle step, he already noticed the mum, right? He noticed the mum, but you didn't notify the seller yet. At that point in time, you would have been achroi for gneva v'aveda. Why? Because in the middle stage, you are a shei mesacha. You're a shei mechinam till you notice the mum. Once you notice the mum, you turn into a shei mesacha. Once you notice the mum and you notify the seller you no longer want the item, you resort back to being a shei mechinam. Okay, I'm getting to that right now. The Rishonim say, it's Machlokes, but the way we pass it, the Rishonim say the reason why you're shei mesacha is because there's a concept called Tofes Le'Azuzi. The Lokeach has an advantage to hold this item, because Kozman is holding the item, he has leverage to get back his money from the seller. Had he not had the item of the seller could jump in the lake and trade a cup tomorrow, the next day, even with the item, he'll do that. But at least he has an advantage. Look, I have your goods. You have Mindin, you have to give me back the money. I don't have to release the goods until you release my money. So I have an advantage to hold on to this chayfet. And therefore there's a kind of tofes le'azuzi. He's holding on to the item for the intent of getting back his money. He has a hanah, he derives pleasure from this holding on to the item. So therefore that hanah is in essence a like a schar, and he's a shay masakha, and he's chayfet gneva v'aveda. Before he noticed the mum, he had no reason why he needs the item to get back his money. So therefore he's only a shei mechinam. Once he notices the mum, he needs to get back his money. I have your item, I have one up on you. I'm going to be at least somewhat guaranteed to get back my money. So I'm a shei mesacha. Once I notify you that what? Here's a catchy point. A sticky point. I have to notify you that I'm willing to return to you. Toil eshelcha v'havah moyes. That's a lashon of a shei mechinam they use. Take back your item and then refund my money. Which means, by saying that, I declare that I don't need to hold on to the item for you to return back, to refund my money. I'm willing to give you back the item and pay me at a later date. Obviously, I would like you to pay me right away. But I'm not withholding the item for the intent of getting back my money. I first said, Tolishcha, take back the item, Vavamoyth, and give me back my money. So I preface, take back the item. So therefore, I, so to speak, declare that that's not my interest, and I resort back to Shai Mechinam. If I would say Faket, have a noise, the Torah Shachar, when you give me back my money, then I'll release to you the goods, then even after such a notification, I'll still remain a Shai Mechinam. Because I'm showing that I still want the use of the item. I still want the item by me. I'm telling you, have a noise, give me back my money, and then I'll release to you the item, so therefore I'll remain a Shai Mechinam. But normally, I can't say no, but very often that's the case. Mechav is talking about, I was mediyu gezintai, take back your chayfis, give me back my money, and therefore once I notified you, I'm oishay mesacha. So I'm oishay mechinam till I notice the mum. I'm oishay mesacha once I notice the mum till I notify you properly. Once I notify you properly, I resort back to being oishay mechinam. Now, if the lum this is, like this is showing him, that it's because I have a vested interest, I derive pleasure for holding on to the item, because I want my money, then here goes again, had I not yet paid, and if I have no reason to hold on to your chayfis, then I'll remain throughout only Shai Mechinam. Because I have no reason to hold on to your item. I don't need this leverage. I'm the one who's mukzik on the money. And therefore, I'll remain a Shai Mechinam even if I wasn't medir you. Even if it gets lost or stolen, I'd be potter. But that wasn't the case in the Mechav. The Mechav's case was I already had paid. And therefore, if I had not notified you, I'd be chayfa gneva vavedo. Once I'm medir you, I resort back to being a Shai Mechinam. And if it gets lost or stolen, I'm only going to be a Shai Mechinam and I'm potter. Now, if the Meicha knew that there was a mum all along, and this goes back to something mentioned in the previous sif, the Meicha knew and he duped the Lekeach, he's chayiv for the Hitzah, for the shipping. Let's say the Lekeach paid for shipping, or he bothered to ship it, whatever it was, the cost of importing the goods to Eretz Yisrael, he's going to have to reimburse the Lekeach for that. Chayv b'itzah shoytzi Lekeach lo'el koysei l'makom ploini midin garmi. I knew you had intended to purchase it, to take it over there, and I knew there was a mum. Both I knew. I knew that that was what you were going to do, and I knew there was a mum there, and therefore I messed you up. I caused you a hefsid of the shipping expense, and therefore I have to reimburse you. And so too, by the Zrayim case. If I knew that the Zrayim were defective, and I knew that obviously the intent was to plant, or we explicitly said it was to plant, and you went ahead and planting, I would have to reimburse you for the hitzos that you invested to try to plant these seeds. Because midin garmi. I set you up, and I was gurim you a hefsid midin garmi. Now this is the halacha that the Mechaber passes is the Shitas Ramah. Rav Yishayim argue with the Ramah, and Rav Yishayim hold that even if I knew that you had intention to plant, or your intent was to take it somewhere else, and even if I knew that there was something wrong with it, I am not chayef garmi, I'm only a groma. And there's a concept that they use, that in order to be chayef garmi, I have to directly, or sort of directly, cause you a hefsid without you causing yourself the hefsid. But Shankin over here, you really caused yourself the hefsid because you're the one who actually shipped it, and you're the one who actually planted it, and therefore don't be grom. I have a chiv, let's say, b'dinei shamayim, but I wouldn't have a chiv b'dinei adam, wouldn't be garmi. It's a different level because you sort of took part in the hezek. You brought upon the hezek to yourself because you actually are the ones who planted it. And therefore, if Hayyaz Rav Yishayim argue with this, definitely it's enough for the seller, if he's mukhlik in the money, to taina Kimli, like these Rishonim, and I would not have to pay you for the Haitzois, contrary to the Psak of the Mechaber. They just finished the Mechaber. If he was unaware that there was a Mum, then he would be part of me at Tzoros HaHalacha. Then he would be part of for the shipping expense, because he can't be Mechaber for Garmi. He himself wasn't aware that there was a Mum, so he didn't do anything wrong. And Mechaber is a Mecca Tzois, but you can't be Mechaber. Beinu Chayvel HaBetzois HaChazara. His only responsibility would be, obviously, to lose the shipping to bring it back, because like we said before, the Lekeach is out of the picture, and it's a Mechaber's headache, and if he has to bring it back, it's going to be the Mechaber's expense. But he's not chayef to reimburse him for the planting or for the shipping going there. However, if he did not notify the seller that he's going to bring it there, like by the seeds case, but yet nevertheless he shipped it there, and it was found to be a mum over there. It is going to be the responsibility of the lekeach until the lekeach returns the item to the seller. similarly to the Beis Roim. If it has a dual function, and this is like a type of dual function, maybe you would have sold it over here. You decided to have to sell it over there and export it to Eretz Yisrael. But you could have sold it over here. So to Beis Roim, right? We had a case, you had dual function. Either you could eat it and to plant it. Just because you opted to do the wrong thing, don't come crying to me. I have nothing to do with it. And until you bring back the item to me, I thought it would be a mecha toys here because there's something inherently wrong with the item. But the hoitzois of bringing it back, of schlepping it back from the other country, that has nothing to do with me. It's your headache. I never asked you. I never instructed you to bring it over there. It wasn't aiming to be sold over there, and therefore it's your headache. Of course, the Rishonim pointed, the Achronim pointed out, is obviously if it was aiming to be sold over there, if a type of item that everyone knows has to be shipped over there, or if we know that it's your shtega, that you as the lakeg, this is your job, you always export to over there, your business is to export vodka to Russia, that is your business, and I know that, so when I sell you vodka, I know that's what you're going to do with it, then again, it's as if I instructed you to sell it over there, and I would have to be mentapil to try to bring it back. It would be my headache. But in absence of that, in a normal case, and you could have sold it over here, and you decide to export it, it's your headache, and until you bring it back here, I am not responsible, and I don't have to refund any money. When you bring it back to town, then you notify me, and sure, I'd pick it up, you know, local, and that's no problem, and refund your money. Now today, the minhag today on most items, most of the time, the minhag is not like this. And like we said, minhag mevata halacha. The minhag usually is if you purchase something from the store, if you walked into the store and you purchased it, the seller has nothing to do with you unless you bring back the item. You can't tell the seller, well, now it's sitting in Hong Kong, go get your item. It wouldn't go well with the seller. It's not normally the case. If they had shipped it to you, let's say it was a mail ordering house, and they shipped it to you and there was something wrong, generally, of course, they'll take it back, and that's the halacha. But if you walked into the store and you purchased a refrigerator and you schlepped it to your house and now it's defective and you have this headache, how are you going to get it back to the seller? Generally speaking, I'm not saying this as a psak, but I would say the minhag in most items is if you purchase it from the store and you walk out of the store with it, until you bring it back to the store, it's not going to be a mecha toys. You bring it back, I'll refund your money. But until then, it's not going to be a mecha toys. And like I said, if you can create such a minhag that everyone does it, it's going to be halacha, minhag mevatel halacha.
It could be a mecha toys, which would be a shame to stop you.
You're going to be a mecha toys, but you have the achrayus to return it back. You'll be a shayim esachah. Right, that's right. Cause man, you have the achrayus to return it. You're going to remain a lachayr. You remain a shayim esachah, unless you claim that you don't need it. Again, you're going through those things. You notified him properly, then maybe you'll turn into a shayim achinam.
Right. The guy says, "I'm not giving you back your money. I'm going to bring it back to me." The guy's gabra limo. What's he's a gabra limo? I don't care what the Allah says. You know, you don't bring back the money. You don't bring back the paper. You bring back your money. Right? You can have the same thing with
Shem Esachar.
It's only going to help.
No, Shem Esachar is because you're Tafis Le'azuzah. He is not Tafis Le'azuzah, L'chayra. You don't need. No, if you would let's say you would notify the guy.
The case is, he won't give you back the thing unless you give him back.
Oh, if you know that the guy's going to give you back the money unless you give him back the item? I hear. If you see. Yeah, but you'd be willing the other way around. You'd be willing to give him back the item and wait for him to pay you. He's just saying, until you give him back the item, he's not releasing the money. But you don't, not Mark, but you might be willing to give him the item and wait for payment sometime later.
I'm telling you right now, unless that thing comes back to my store, then you're not getting back your money.
So you need the item to return, and for that, it's tough as you think. I hear. Right.
Okay.
Right. Now, if he delivered and installed it, you call up the merchant and say, "Look, here you have a headache. Go pick up the refrigerator. It's a mecha toys. It's not my headache." Correct.
You're saying in general, I can't come and tell the merchant go pick up your papers in order
unless you. I'm just saying mitzad the minhag, not mitzad halacha. Mitzad halacha, it is a mecha toys, and you can go back out. I'm saying a minhag of today. If the item is not the minhag, or it's even 50-50, then I've had to be resort back to halacha, make a din.
What's the difference by a car? You said that it had to pick up the car. The mecha has to pick up the car.
In which case?
I don't know, a few weeks ago.
Well, here's the mecha din halachas as well, that the mecha has to pick it up.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that if you create a minhag not like that, the minhag will be not like that, that they bring it back, the lakeg brings it back to the mecha, then minhag will be mevata halacha. If we're not sure on the minhag, then we resort back to the halacha. Mecha din until mecha din, the mecha has a achrayus to pick up the chayfetz, unless the lakeg brought it to a far, you know, who knows where, that the mecha was not responsible to bring it back. But otherwise, he'd be achrayus.
So when he is a shayim achinam, and the mecha has to go get it. How long does he have to wait for the mutter to come get it?
He doesn't have to wait at all. He can just, he's going to be achray to it. The Rishonim don't say the time frame, but they say what you should do is just give it to someone else who's there, so you do not tie down there.
I'm afraid to want to watch this box for me. I'm going to find somebody.
Enochanami. So then you might.
You have 1 week to pick it up. It's going outside the street.
You can't put it outside the street, but what you might be able to do is, if you don't have an achrayis, it might have a halacha like a Shema Aveda that you're allowed to take out the hitzoyis from the item itself. So let's say you'll have 100 boxes of apples, you might be able to sell off 3 boxes of apples to get the money to now to pay for the storage of these items. It's like any Shema Aveda. But what the time frame is, how long you have achrayis to hold on to it, that I didn't see. The Rishonim don't say that. But they do say this is a simple eitzah, apparently, just to give it to someone else. And maybe today it's not a simple eitzah.
Well, just a general question. Do we educate people on kimlis? Do we tell people, you can say kimli, or we just leave it the way it is?
We don't educate people really on kimli, but you don't have to educate people on kimli, because the halach is, if you're mukzik, and it's a real machlokes Rishonim, without it. See, people are frightened. They think kimli, does everything. It's not true. Kimli is very edel halach, not the way the Tainim make it out to be. It's very simple. It means when there's a sofik in hachra, in halacha, there's a machlokes Rishonim, machlokes Apayiskim, and there's a safik. Well, if you have a safik, whoever's muchzik wins, because there's a cheskes mamon which says he should win. It's not that if the halacha is gepaskin not like him, and he found a shita that holds like him, the kimli's not going to help you. You can have a cheskes mamon. Cheskes mamon only works when you have a safik. If there's no safik, if the halacha is not like you, then you're going to lose. Yeah, this is a machlokes Rishonim. Even without him invoking kimli, even if he doesn't say kimli, correct. It's a suffix, machlokes Rishonim. How could he be mechayvim? He didn't suffix.
He doesn't have to say kimli.
Bezin will say kimli for him. If the guy wants to be a tzaddik, I understand. If I don't want to invoke my cheskes mamon, then in a kanami. Now, I want to point out, going back to this garmi, and who's chayv for the itzoyis, the makab over here says that you are chayv for the itzoyis. Now, like I said, Rabbi Shainim hold that you're not chayv for garmi because you brought upon the hezek to yourself. And Rekiv Yeger says in the tshuva he had a case, a guy shipped apples to another Medina, whatever, schayra. But basically, he asks from the following halach in Shin Lamagimel. The last sif in Shin Lamagimel says the case. I go over and it says, Maisim B'choyoyim. I go over to someone and I order something to be built. I want a custom-made Svarim Shrank. I want, make me this special type of ice cream cake, whatever it is. Make me a special type of chocolate. We had in Montreal such a case. Make me something special. And the guy makes it for him, and when it comes time to pick it up, I don't need it anymore. I'm not interested. Now the seller is stuck with this item. And let's say it's going to spoil, or he can't get rid of this item, so he's going to have a hefsin involved. You instructed me to do something. I did it for you. I created this thing, custom made, and now you back out. I'm stuck. Who is soiver? Who has to pay for this? So is the seller stuck with this? Sorry, no kinyan. No, I can begin. There's no kinyan, so that's not going to work. But is the lokeach responsible to reimburse the seller for his investment that he put into this item? The deposit is not going to make a kinyan, but maybe he could be muksak in the deposit. We're going to see. He won't have to come on to that. And there's a truth, it's a rush, it's kapaskin in Shin Lamagimel, that the lekech is responsible. And the reason is, again, midin garmi. He instructed him to do something, and there, even the Rishonim, who hold over here, you would be potter, hold seemingly over there, that you are chai for garmi. Kivega wants to know, what is the chilek between this halacha, that Rav Rishonim hold, that you're potter, because you brought upon the hefta to yourself. You were the one who took it to a different Medina. You're the one who planted it, and I'm pato. Maybe it's a groma, chai b'dini shemayim, but not chai b'dini yodam. And over there, why can't I tell the in the same thing? You're the one who built this Ram Shank. You're the one who made this ice cream cake. It's a groma, chai b'dini shemayim, but let's see what you're going to do about it. And I'm pato b'dini yodam. How come over there that says, no, I am chai b'dini yodam for garmi? What is the chilek? And Rekiv Yeger comes up with his major yisoid. And that is that in this case, we're talking about a normal case where you sell it, even though it's oimid fizriya, but you never told him to be zareyed. And therefore, since you didn't instruct him lehedi to be zareyed, he was planting for himself, and you're not going to be chayib. Over there, I told you, build me this ram trunk, make me this cake. Since I instructed him, he's as if, this is a concept like that in Bari Ezekah, if I instructed him to do it, it's as if he's acting on my behalf, and therefore, says if I invest, he was a mighty moment al-piv, even maybe we'll invoke that concept. But basically is, I will be chayfa garmi because I told him lehedya, go and make me this thing. Custom make me this item. And therefore, if you end up being stuck with it, I'm chayfa garmi for your tzayis and everything invested in it. I won't be chayf, for example, to buy the item from you and pay full price, but I will be chayf, might be the same price, but will be chayf for you, all your tzayis and for your tircha and whatever is involved in making this cake or a sram shank or whatever it might be. And therefore comes out a major chiddush la'alocha. Rikki Vega will say, therefore, over here by Yisroel, had I told you, Gesintai, go plant the seeds, they're great seeds, go plant them, and you ended up planting them, or Gesintai, take it to the other Medina, take the vatka over there, whatever it is, and I instructed you to do that, Rikki Vega says, you will be chayf for garmi, and I will have to reimburse you for the tzayis of shipping. That is the chiddush la'alocha from Rikki Vega. Had it not been for Rikki Vega, we could have suggested a different chilek. That's because Machaba holds like the Shitas Ramah. But we're saying, like the other Rishonim, Roy Rishonim argue with the Ramah and hold that really you put the Bedini Gami over here because you brought upon the Hezek to yourself. Rikki Vega says, if I instructed you Lehedi to do that, then it's not as if you brought upon yourself. It's as if I told you to do it and I'd be Achroy. Had it not been for Rikki Vega, we could say that even here if I instructed you, I'd still be part. And there's a little more elementary chilek between the two cases. And that is, over there, when I instructed you, my instruction has content to it. I instruct you, for whose purpose are you building this Ramshank? You're building it for me. Of course, your intent is only l'shem moment. Of course, it's l'shma l'shem moment harbi. You zikha want to build this to make money off of me. But I'm telling you to build this Ramshank for me. This is the cost to make. This is what I need to be done. You're building it for me. So therefore, it's as if I instructed, my instruction carries weight. Over here, when the seller says, Gesintai, go plant, you think the seller cares if you go plant the seeds? Just get out of my store, give me my money, do whatever you want with the seeds, go plant the seeds. So therefore, when you go plant it again, you're planting it for your own purpose. You're not planting it because of me, not on my behalf, and therefore I would not be chayav for gamilo, those Rishonim. And Saka Mavun Rishonim, it's mashma, at least in Rishonim, that even if it was oimid to be planted, I'd be potza. Seemingly, even though I told you, Gesintai, go plant it, there's nothing to the go ahead and planting it. Over there, when I tell you, build me this Ramshak, I want it like that. Or build me the house, I want it like this. Then, yes, you're doing it for me, so then I instructed you, and therefore it'd be chayav for gamim. Otherwise, lochayav now. But Rikki Vega doesn't say that. Rikki Vega says that over here, if I instructed you to plant it, I'd be chayav for gamim. Any questions?
You said before that you'd only have to pay for the haitzaras in the case of that of the sperm shop.
And here too.
Let's say I can't sell it.
So that the whole choice is not that you can't sell it. The choice is all the time and material and effort you put into it. It could be the same price.
What happens if I can't sell it and I have to go ahead and reduce the price drastically in order to sell it?
So I'll have to pay the difference.
It's not just
a choice.
It's the whole thing.
It's a choice. It's different to no choice. Let's say a person...
Egg, it spoils.
Right, correct. So it's all over. So how much a choice when is the dice? Okay. The garmi is on all your choice and your investment. Usually the omen prices it like that to make up for his choice and the investment, etc. But sometimes you can have an omen who, let's say, his choice won't like that. Let's say he has workers working for him. And let's say he just does it, so part of it there is atzayis, is the wood and the material and the labor that he has to pay his workers. He's sitting at home with his feet on the desk. But what he's interested in is making the profit on that. Let's say three quarters of it, let's say you buy something for $400. $300 is investment for atzayis and whatever it might cost, material. But the extra $100 is the profit I'm making. You are only giving him the atzayis of the $300. The extra $100 is profit that I'm not chayav. That's not menias harevach. That's nothing. Had I not told you to make this farm shack, you weren't going to get those $100 anyway. What you only lost because I instructed you to build it was the first $300. Now, if you have to sell it for a reduced price for $100, yes, then I'll have to pay that window from $100 to $300. So I'll have to pick up the...
But you lost...
Correct, because the $400 wasn't the right size.
But you lost because you could have had done someone else.
That's menias harevach. That's only groma, and that would be only chibud din neshamayim. Garmi is the tzoyis and the actual sweat and tircha and whatever you invested in this item, that is chiv garmi.
So what happens if he does the work himself? He normally charges his labor, $25 an hour, whatever it is.
So if that is a tzoyis, then that will go in...
That's rabbi.
No, I don't know if that's rabbi. That's work, because if I would be hired by someone else to do this work, I'd also charge $25. It's not profit beyond the tzoyis. My tzoyis is a lot...
And getting workers to do the work for me. I had to build up a business to go ahead and to get different people and client. And,
right. So no, the Baruch Hashem, you're gifted, but we're the... No, the choice right now on this Ramchank...
By itself, yeah, there's a certain... There's
it's called Hashkocha. Yeah, Baruch Shalom made you wealthy. It's not because the guy built...
Do a job
being a laborer and getting $25.
No, so but you invested that work. We'll see somewhere else. We see very often by Yair and all other time that Hotzais investment does not necessarily mean the wood or the formica that you invested. Hotzais means your tiecha as well. And your debt paid kapoyel, a normal pile takes. That is your tzais. You invested time and work as well. But beyond that, the profit that you're taking, that is not a tzais. That's just manir sarevach, and that you'd be potter on.
You got to realize that the guy sitting behind his desk, feet up and things, he's like a salesman that he gets a commission. He's going to lose all that.
He gets a profit. That is profit. Had I not told you to do it in the first place, you wouldn't have gotten that commission anyway. So that I didn't. So that's mini tzareva.
But what I'm saying, the same guy who's working for an hour on this job, he would have worked another hour on a different job. I would have gotten it for you. That's not the thing that I lost. I lost money.
What did you lose?
The laborer gets his work.
Right. So you lost shelling out the money to the laborers. What did you lose? Where was your hotzais that I lost? If it was something that you menea revach abichai b'dinei shemaim, that's grama.
I spent 2 hours racking my brains how to figure out this job. You're going to pay me for the 2 hours?
So maybe, yes. That's okay. if that's tikh involved.
The same 5 minutes I spend there, it's also worth the same amount of money. That's why I'm getting paid. I'm getting paid for it.
Look, if you can translate it into work, it's into height. That's usually not the case. A person has money making money, generating money.
What did he do? He just didn't show up.
Sorry?
No.
Where? By the case of the cake or whatever? He told him like he's no longer interested in an item. He instructed him what it is from the whole picture, from the beginning and the end. We see a guy, the picture was a guy went over to someone and duped him by instructing him to waste his time and invest money and material.
He should have taken the
egg because
he's
mudding
himself.
He's not mudding himself. I can rely on you. You told me to build this, I built it. So I built it for you.
Let's say a man doesn't show up. He never shows up.
He never shows up. He's also chayv. If I ask you to create a brochure for me and I don't show up, I'm chayv for garmi. Because the garmi is, by the way, you have garmi even shev al tazah, the case of a field, and you have a wall between the two fields, and it fell down, and I have a chiv to build it, even if I'm shev al tazah, I'm chayv for garmi. Kakshamati, Rav Zalman Nechemi brought this raya. I asked him the shaylin, he brought me this raya. You can have gami even b'shev al ta'asa. But here it's even better. I saw the whole picture. The picture was, I instructed you to build something, so I did a kumvase, and I didn't follow through picking it up. Well, I'm dead, I'm not. It's both, really. It's the combination. All right, let's stop here.
For other tapes by Rabbi Kahan, or for additional information, please contact Bezdin Meisharim at 732-905-3388. Thank you.